Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
All right, let's get into our message this morning. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever been going along and you look down at your phone and all of a sudden you saw that low battery light start blinking and you were like, oh no! Do you know there's actually a survey that's been done about that? It's called low battery anxiety. Have anybody ever experienced low battery anxiety, right? There is absolutely nothing wrong with your phone except that it is low battery and it begins to change your behavior, right? You begin to all of a sudden, you stop scrolling and you begin to say, how many apps do I have open? How many have ever been surprised by how many apps you actually have open on your phone? And you're like, oh, that's gotta go, that's gotta go, that's gotta, and then you like switch to low power mode, right? I gotta get, and then you're scrambling around. Can I find a charger? Where do I have a charger? Where can I plug that charger in? Do I have the right charger? Right? Come on. We've experienced it before, low battery anxiety. Here's the thing though. The phone still works. I mean, it still has everything that it needed. The hardware was still there. Your software is still installed. You still have all of your apps. Your camera still works. The problem is not the phone itself. The problem is it lacks power. Right. Oh, you see where I'm going with this, don't you? Because I think we as believers oftentimes try to operate our lives and sometimes we don't realize how depleted we are until the warning signs start going off and we realize we're operating in low battery mode. Low battery mode, right? And so today what we're going to see is that the Apostle Paul is going to usher in, he's going to pray one of two prayers. And what he's trying to get us to understand is, just like that phone that still has all of its apps and still has all of its hardware and all of it, and its camera and all of that stuff, it needs to function because of it needs to function when the battery is full. And so what the Apostle Paul has been doing here in Ephesians, before we get into next week, we're going to get into the practical side. How many of you love the practical side? He's going to get into Ephesians, he's going to get into the practical side. He's going to talk about what we've titled this series, Walking Worthy. He's going to talk about walking worthy of the calling we've received. Yet there's one thing that as he's talked about all of these riches that we've had, he says, you know what? I just got to usher a prayer for these folks. I got to usher an apostolic prayer. So as we've been going through this, we've understood it in the first three chapters, the wonderful riches that we have, right? Every spiritual blessing, he told us, is ours in Christ Jesus. That means that we have been chosen. We've been adopted. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. How many are grateful you've been forgiven? We've been sealed in the Holy Spirit, right? We've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. We've learned all of this. This is what he said. We've been given immeasurable access to the riches of God's grace. We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. We've been made alive through his resurrection. We have been united into a new family of believers, Jew and Gentile, into one church. These are great things, right? Wow. The problem isn't that God hasn't given us enough. We have lots of apps. We have lots of riches. He's given us a lot. That's not the problem. The problem is that we operate on low battery, low spiritual battery. When we try to love difficult people, when we try to serve faithfully, when we try to resist temptation or share our faith or lead our families or walk worthy of our calling, oftentimes we find that to be really difficult. Many times because we're only running on 1%. So before Paul moves into this discussion, he begins to share an incredible prayer. And because he knows this, knowing what you have is not the same as living from what you have. How many know you can know what you have, but it's not the same as living from what you have? You can know about it, but it's not the same from living from it. So there's two prayers. We looked at the first one in Ephesians chapter 1, and that was a prayer of enlightenment. God prayed that we would know. That you would know, that God would open up the eyes of our understanding. That's a prayer of enlightenment. He wants us to know all of the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. But then we come to Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul prays a different prayer. He shared all of these riches. Now he's not praying that we would just know about these riches or know them. He's praying that we would be enabled. It's a prayer of enablement, that we would be able to live from them by a divine enablement. He doesn't pray for easier circumstances or greater comfort or greater financial prosperity or even physical health. No, no, no. He bows his knees before his heavenly Father, and look at Ephesians 3:16. That according to the riches of his glory, that's what we've been talking about, according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you, look at this, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, where? In your inner being. In your inner being. Information alone is not enough. It's not just enough for us to know about the riches in Christ Jesus. We have to learn how to live from those riches if we want to walk worthy of the calling that we have received. And God knows that a strengthening is not just a strengthening on the outside that we need, but rather we need a strengthening on the inside. So today we're going to follow his prayer and how God helps us to walk worthy. And that is, we're going to learn about being strengthened, being rooted, and being filled. Strengthened, rooted, and filled. And then we're going to look at his doxology at the end as he just moves into a time of worship. How God powers a worthy walk. Number one, we're strengthened. We're strengthened. Again, not strengthened on the outside, but he starts with the inside, right? The ability to walk worthy is about learning how to be spirit empowered on the inside. It's about a spirit empowerment on the inside that we lay hold of. Go back to Ephesians 3:16 for a moment. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. There are resources that we need to lay hold of. But the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm praying something. I'm praying that you would be strengthened with power of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Now, how many of you know that when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit? When you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, the only way that you actually receive Christ is that the Holy Spirit awakens you. Wow, let there be light. That the Holy Spirit is the one who opens up our eyes, as Paul prayed, that your eyes would be open. And when our eyes are opened and we respond to his grace through faith, the Bible says that we are saved. And here's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes and begins to live within us. You can think of it like this. How many of you know that God says that you can come as you are? How many of you know he accepts us right where we are, right in our sin? Right? God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, right, Christ died for us. Or as we learned in Ephesians chapter 2, when you were dead in your transgressions, right? We were dead. We had a dead spirit. You might have been walking around, but you were the walking dead. Because in your inner man, in your spirit, you were dead until the Holy Spirit came to make you alive. While God brings us to him and he accepts us as we are, it's not to leave us as we are. Some people like to come to Jesus and say, well, Jesus accepts me as I am, and then they want to keep living as I am. That's not what happens. See, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, he begins to enlighten you, convict you of sin, show you who God's love, and show you his power and show you his grace, and he begins to bring a transformation to you on the inside. But how do you begin to live out that transformation? We know that that transformation comes and the Spirit lives in us because the Spirit is evidence of our salvation. Romans 8:9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But in this prayer, Paul is not just talking about having the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us. Rather, he is praying for a divine enablement of the Holy Spirit. A divine enablement, a divine strength on the inner man, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the divine enablement that strengthens believers on the inside so that we can live like Christ on the outside. We can't live like Christ on the outside unless we have the Spirit on the inside, unless we're empowered by the Spirit on the inside. There's a Greek word here for power. How many love when we go into the Greek? There's a Greek word for power. I'll tell you why this is so important. It's the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis. It's dynamite, where we get our word dynamite from. Dynamite. It's a divine enablement, divine power. Do you know where else we see this word power being used as dunamis? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said to wait for his disciples to wait for what? To wait for the Holy Spirit. To wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that they could receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. In John chapter 20, Jesus, after the resurrection, showed up where his disciples were, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." It's a signal of salvation when the Spirit began to enter in. But he said that there is a separate work, a divine enabling, an empowerment of the Holy Spirit that is available to all of us. Scripture calls it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, as Paul has talked about all of the riches that we have in Christ Jesus, before he gets to telling us about walking worthy of the calling and how we ought to live, he says, hold on a second, I need to pray for you that you would receive the divine enablement and power that is going to enable you to live from the riches that have been provided in Christ Jesus. To live from those riches, you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. What? Not on the outside, but on the inside. On the inside. Because here's the thing, some of us need a little spiritual grit in our lives. You know what that is? That's a strength that when life starts to come at you, you don't back down. You don't give up. But there's a spiritual strength on the inside that enables you to be able to resist temptation, to enables you to be able to love that brother or sister that is quite unlovable at the moment, that enables you to be able to stay in your marriage when your marriage is falling apart and everything says to give up on it. There's a divine enablement that says, no, I need to stay put even when it's a little bit uncomfortable. There's a divine enablement that says, I need to step in when it comes to sharing my faith, even when there's a little pushback or a little resistance or a little persecution. There is a divine enablement on the inside that allows me to be able to live out and live worthy of the calling that I have received. Ooh. Do you know the book of Acts? I just taught a class on the book of Acts. I'm teaching a class for the Ohio Ministry Network. I've been teaching through the book of Acts, and we were just kind of doing an overview and walking through. Do you know that your title might say the Acts of the Apostles? I'm going to say this. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Jesus, everything Jesus did in his ministry, he did under the power of the Holy Spirit. He was fully human. Now he's fully God. He was fully human. And he walked like we did. He's a great high priest. He's not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He walked like we did. But how did Jesus do the miracles that he did? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How did he deliver demons? How did he raise the dead? How did he heal the blind? How did he heal the sick? How did he preach under the gospel in a way that was different than what everybody else understood? He did it under the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He says that you, as his disciples, will do even greater things. Right? Because greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. Oh, come on, y'all know it. Why are we so afraid of the Holy Spirit? Can I ask that? Why are we so afraid of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. I don't know what it is that seems so spooky about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is a person, just like Jesus is a person, just like the Father is a person. I am off my notes right now because I think we need to understand we have been given this paraclete, one who is one like another. The paraclete, like Jesus, who was with his disciples physically, couldn't be in all of those places in bodily form, but the Holy Spirit lives within us. Why? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and his Spirit lives in us, and his Spirit walks with us. And what you need today is you need one like Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and empowers you and strengthens you on the inner man if you want to be victorious today. Those are God's riches. And it says, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. According to, not out of his riches. If I'm a billionaire, which I'm not, by the way. I'm not. But if I was a billionaire and I gave you 10 bucks, I'd be giving you out of my riches. But if I was a billionaire and I gave you $1 million, I'd be giving to you according to my riches. Anybody in here could probably give somebody 10 bucks, giving it out of your riches. Very few people could give somebody $1 million. That's according to. God has an unlimited supply of riches. And Paul prays that we would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus, and to strengthen us on the inner man, the deep place where faith is formed, where motives are governed, and where endurance is cultivated. Not the outer man, but the inner man that is being renewed in spite of the outer man wasting away. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. I can identify with this. So we do not lose heart, though the outer shell is wasting away. Oh, how many have been there, right? The outer shell. Man, I woke up this morning and I was like, where did that pain come from? What did I do yesterday? I don't remember that one. I'm reminded of the outer shell wasting away every time I look at my iPad, because I used to be able to increase the font to 22, and over the last couple of weeks, I've needed to bring these back up, because even at display, 22 is not enough. I'm thinking, man, something is going wrong with my sight, right? The outer man is wasting away. Oh, but look what it says. Our inner being is being renewed day by day. Why? That's because, he says, strengthened on the inner man. Why? Because God is renewing the inner man day by day, inwardly. Proverbs 23:2, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do we need? Strength on the inner man, because as a man thinks in his heart on the inner man, so is he. We act according to it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth. You have problems with your mouth? Check your heart. The strength and power we need is not physical, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. We're not missing potential, friends. We're missing power. The power that actually moves our life to walk worthy of the calling we've received. Secondly, we need to be rooted. I know I jumped ahead in the notes. Rooted. Ephesians 3:17 and 19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all what? Knowledge. Oh man, there is so much in here. There is so much in here. So based upon strength, I strengthen you on the inner man. I pray you would be strengthened on the inner man, but just not strengthened on the inner man. Look at the verbs. He uses three different verbs here to give us, to communicate these pictures. Three different pictures in verb form to communicate what he's trying to say. Dwell, rooted, and grounded. What does dwell mean? Dwell has to do with staying put. Anybody ever stay in a hotel before? I've stayed in a hotel before. Let me tell you what I don't do in a hotel. I don't bring my own pictures and my own furniture, and I don't move in and hang up the pictures on the wall, right? I live out of a suitcase. I may unpack that suitcase if there's a, you know, if I'm going to be staying for a week and put it in the drawers. Sometimes I don't. I just live out of the suitcase. Anybody do that? But here's the thing. It's temporary. I don't move in. I come, and I'm just there for a little bit, and then I leave. Dwell is something different. Dwell is like you when you get into your first apartment, or you get into a new home, or you get into whatever, you start to make yourself at home. You make it yours. You move in your own furniture. You make your own bed with your own sheets and not somebody else's that you have to check to make sure somebody didn't leave some bugs behind. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're making it. You're hanging your own pictures on the wall. You're taking the pictures of your family or different people that you love, and you're putting it up, and you're painting the walls the colors you want, and you're making it your own. Why? Because you plan to dwell there. You plan to dwell there. You plan to stay there. The word dwell literally means to settle down and feel at home. Here's Paul's prayer, that you would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inner man, and that Christ may dwell, be settled, and find a home in your heart. Oh, there's a settling that comes from Christ, right? A permanent residence, not simply Christ stopping for a visit. He isn't praying that they would merely visit believers, but that Christ would make and increasingly find a home in their lives. Sometimes we invite Christ into our life, but we don't want to open up certain rooms in our home. Anybody have those rooms in your home where you just put stuff and when visitors come, you shut the door? You know what I'm talking about? You got that room, right? And that's where the stuff goes, and then you shut the door, and you're like, the house is clean. Oh, we got to pick up the house. People are coming over. You like take stuff off the counter. You stick it in this room, or you stick it under this drawer, or you put it away because you don't want anybody to see it. But guess what? Everybody in the family who lives there knows where that room is. And they have access to that room, right? Let's not treat Jesus as a guest by keeping him out of certain rooms that he wants to clean up. Certain rooms we don't want him to see. Guess what? He sees it anyway. Let him make his dwelling in your heart. Let him make his dwelling in your heart. Don't say, Jesus, you can have my Sunday morning worship, but not my finances. Uh-oh. Don't talk about that, Pastor. Don't say, Lord, you can have this part of my heart, but not my bitterness. You can't have that. I'm not going in that room. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want to deal with that. You can have my words, Lord, but not my worries. Dwell. Let Jesus shape every part of you. Rooted. Love nourishes. Paul now changes the metaphor and he moves it into the plant world. How many know that a tree gets its roots down deep in the soil both for nourishment and for stability, right? Nourishment and stability. As the roots go down deep, where are our roots to go down deep? They're to go down deep into what? Into his love. Into his love. I think Jeremiah puts it well. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, the prophet paints this picture. He says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. How many think that's a powerful picture, isn't it? That's a powerful picture. When we're talking about roots, we're talking about roots that are going down deep into what? Into the love of Christ. Into God's love. And he's going to talk about the height and the depth and the width and the breadth in just a moment. But he wants us to understand that it's God's love that our roots need to go down into, because it's those roots down into the love of God that help us when we start to experience the dry seasons in our life. Notice it says, but he is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Oftentimes in this world, there are things that happen that will shake your confidence. They will shake your faith. They will shake your trust. But here's what Paul is praying. You'd be strengthened on the inner man, and that you would have Christ dwell in your heart, that your roots would go down deep into his love. Why? Because it's his love that gives us confidence that when our world is shaking, it's not because God is punishing us, but rather it might be that God is growing us. Not that God is punishing us, but God is growing us. And how does God grow us? Oftentimes he grows us. Some of those trees that have the roots down the deepest are the trees that have been in the places that have been the most dry. And they've had to push the roots, and the roots have had to go down a little bit deeper just to get the nourishment that they need. When God is giving you a dry season or a wilderness season or a dry time, it's not to punish you. It's to grow you. It's not because he's trying to be mean to you. It's because he loves you. And he knows that when the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to come, guess what? You need roots that are down deep and a confidence of faith and trust in the Lord that you can be nourished even when it seems dry. Ooh, somebody. Man, the love of God is the stability that we need. Just not the nourishment, the stability. Why? Because you and I, we live in this world where we're constantly trying to find approval and love. Approval and love. There are so many of us, so many people that struggle with who they are, struggle with identity. Maybe they didn't have a nurturing, loving relationship with parents. Again, parents do the best they can, but there are some times where we're in situations in a broken world where broken people don't always love the way they should. And broken homes and broken marriages. We're constantly struggling to figure out our identity and am I approved and am I loved? Right? And so we search for it in things. We search for it in our jobs by trying to be successful and trying to earn the approval of our boss or earn the approval of people that are higher up. We try to earn it in relationships. Is that person like me? Is that person, am I pleasing? Am I pleasing to them and approval? Let me tell you something. The only approval that you need is God and His love. And as your roots begin to go deep in His love, when you don't see the approval from others or you don't see the approval of other things that this world has to offer, you will find your approval in Jesus. And it will be what strengthens you and gives you stability and nourishes your soul. The last analogy is grounded. Truth stabilizes. Paul moves from a picture of agriculture to architecture. Grounded is an architectural term, the foundation on which the building rests. Everyone notices the beauty of the buildings, right? But they don't think about the foundation. But here's the principle that the engineer knows. If you don't go down deep, you can't go up high. Just saying. That's why there's footers that are poured before the framing. A builder knows it's only as secure as the foundation beneath. The trials of life don't create our foundation, they reveal it. Jesus said this, if you take these words of mine and you put them into practice, that's the key, put them into practice, you'll be like a wise man who builds his house where? On the rock. And then what? When the storms come, when the winds blow and they beat against that house, it will stand. Right? But look what happens. A foolish man builds his house on the sand. And look at the same thing. When the wind blows and the winds come and they beat against that house, it was what? Falls with a great crash. Notice, wise and the foolish. You know what's consistent in both of those stories? The foundations are different. Wise and foolish is different. You know the only thing that's consistent? The wind and the rain. Anybody that tells you if you come to Christ, you'll never experience any wind and rain is lying to you. It's not biblical. It's just not in there. So how do we stand? How do we stand when the wind and the rain come? You learn to allow Christ to dwell richly in your heart, and you begin to allow Him to find His place into your heart and dwell with you. You take the roots and you allow the Lord to push your roots down deep into His love that begins to nourish and stabilize you. And you allow the truth of His word in practice to allow you to build your house on a solid foundation. And that way, when the wind and the rain and the trials of this life come and the warfare from the enemy that we're going to get to in Ephesians chapter 6 comes, you can stand strengthened on the inner man and rooted in Christ Jesus and His love. Come on. He says, I want you to grasp this. How wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ? Comprehend, the same Greek word is apprehend, to take hold of. We've got to take hold of the depths of Christ's love so that we can stop responding to pressure with panic. Because we're gripped in Christ's steadfast love, we can stop defending ourselves with doubt because we can trust the height of His grace. We can stop measuring our worth by performance because we're held in His love that surpasses all knowledge. And we can start living and loving others not as a project but as an overflow of the love we're holding on to. Friends, get this. Walking worthy isn't produced by trying harder. It grows naturally out of a heart where Christ is settled in, where roots have grown deep, and where a foundation has been firmly laid. And now Paul is going to go to the last part of his prayer, fullness or filled. Look at Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you, so I want you to do all of this, that you, what, may be filled with all the fullness of God. Friends, God doesn't want you walking around empty. He doesn't want you walking around with your battery on 1%. He wants you to be filled. He wants you to be filled. Filling, fullness. I don't know if we grasp that. I don't know if you grasp that. Let me tell you something. If you're hungry, you're not just getting scraps. You're getting a full plate. Right? A full plate. We're talking about filling the glass. I'm oftentimes parched. I drink a lot. When I go out to eat, I drink a lot of water. If you're my waitress, you got to come back and keep filling me up. When I'm getting down there, I got to look around like, is it going to be filled up again? I don't like my glass on empty. I don't like my glass. One of the reasons why was because growing up, I had this thing, this condition I didn't even know about until several years ago called EOE. Maybe you've heard of it on the news and or on those commercials for whatever. But it's really white blood cells that build up in your esophagus. They constrict. And so when you eat, food gets stuck. I had that regularly growing up. I didn't know what it was. They would take a balloon down and dilatate and open me up and blow the whole thing up. And I'd have to do it. And then I'd be right back to it. And because allergens and things in the air, just like with asthma, that cause white blood cells to build up in your lungs, for me, they'd build up in my esophagus, and they narrow my esophagus, and food would get stuck. So the only way for me to really eat and to push the food down was to have a glass of water, and I'd have to drink just to get the food to go down. I never wanted my glass empty. Friends, let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't want your glass empty. He has come to fill you. He's come to give you a fullness of His love, a presence of His love that doesn't just fill you, but overflows to everybody around you and literally changes the atmosphere around you. It's not just that we act nicer, but it's that we literally carry the presence of the Lord wherever we go. That's the picture. That's the picture that we have. That's Paul's logic in Ephesians 3:19, that God doesn't just want a partial filling. He wants the fullness of our lives to spill over onto everybody else. A love you can't explain just because of your personality or perseverance you can't manufacture just because of willpower, or a presence you can't sustain just simply by memory alone. Because when God fills His people, it literally changes the entire community. And that's what sets up Paul's doxology here. Because a God who feels like this is a God who is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine. Take a look. Paul is so overcome by his prayer, he suddenly bursts into worship. You ever done that before? He bursts into worship. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Okay, I don't think you got it. Let's break it down. Now unto Him that is, look at this, able to do all above all. All. Everybody say all.
All.
Able to do all, or excuse me, abundantly above all. Abundantly above all. So we have all, we have above all. Abundantly above all. Abundantly above all. Now we have exceedingly abundantly above all. Paul, is there another word you can possibly use here? Like every word he could possibly try to imagine, because for us to really get this, we need to see that God's power that is available to us is exceedingly and abundantly above, even beyond our wildest imaginations. Think about how big you can think, and guess what? God goes bigger. He goes bigger. The power of Christ, the love of Christ is beyond any human measurement or understanding. And it's the power that we need if we're going to walk worthy and we're going to war in victory, friends. Paul shows us that we can do abundantly more than our requests can possibly estimate or contain. And he adds this reason, according to the power that is at work in us. What did he start his prayer with? That you may be strengthened with power from the Holy Spirit on the inner man. And now he is telling us that when you have the promised Spirit on the inner man enabled strength, and you are grounded in His incomprehensible love, marked by a fullness of the Spirit, guess what? When you grasp that, you'll be able to say, oh, God can do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think or imagine, according to His power that is at work in me. Not my power, but His power. Not my power, but His power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. By His Spirit. By His strength in the inner being. By Christ's dwelling of love that we grasp with growing comprehension. By the fullness that overflows as we keep laying hold, so that God gets victory in His church. In His church. Worship team, will you come? Maybe you're living on 1% today. You've come in here and your strength is just zapped. You are like, I am trying. I have tried to resist sin, but I just keep giving in. I'm trying, but these trials are just getting to me. And man, I feel like I am on low battery. I need to plug in today to the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to be strengthened on the inner man. Maybe you're struggling with your identity. Maybe you're struggling with your self-worth, and you need your roots to go down deep and discover His deep love. Today, God wants to fill you to overflowing so that you can realize the exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine, according to the power that works in you, that power that is available so that you can walk worthy of your calling. Today, you might need the Holy Spirit in your life. Why? Not for us, but for the glory of God. That's how it ends. That's how this passage ends, is about the glory of God. It's about God's glory. To Him be the glory in the church in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are filled for His glory. For His glory. Let's bow our heads this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, that's me, I'm running on empty. Pastor, I need to be strengthened on the inner man. I need to be strengthened on my inner person. I need the Holy Spirit's power in my life. I need His strengthening in my life. If that's you, will you slip up your hand this morning? I'm on low battery. I need His strength in my life today. Yeah, I'm running on low battery. Maybe today you say, I'm struggling with my self-worth. I'm struggling to know that I'm loved. I'm struggling with some areas in my life and just really feeling bad about myself. And I need roots to go down deep into His incomprehensible love. If that's you, will you slip up your hand? I need to know His love today. Yeah, I need to know. I'm struggling with His love today. I'm going to pray God just fills you with the fullness today. Jesus, fill with the fullness today. Right now, Lord, you know those that are on empty. Oh, Jesus, they've been trying in their own strength, and they're weary. They're weary, and they're worn today. I pray right now, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray for a strength of the Holy Spirit right now on the inner man. I pray, Jesus, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move in this place, and that, God, you would come upon and fill with your Spirit this morning. Father, I pray that we would know your love, that those that are struggling, God, maybe even trying and looking to be loved, looking in some way for some kind of approval. The enemy keeps lying, saying you're not valuable, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you. That's a lie. I bind that lie in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would press the roots down deep into your amazing love, your incomprehensible love, and that those who are here today would know the height and the width and the depth and the breadth of your amazing love that surpasses all knowledge. And that you would fill us, God, to overflowing. That, Father, as we pray and as we follow and as we walk, Lord, that we would see that you will do things, God, exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. So today we come to that reservoir of riches, and we ask you to strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit on the inner man, to reveal your love and root us deep in your love and dwell in our hearts and ground us in a foundation of truth and fill us, God, to overflowing with your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Paintsville Assembly of God, visit paintsvilleag.com.